Krishna Gopa Gopinath काम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की
जय।
श्री वृंदावन धाम की
जय।
श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की
जय।
श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की
जय।
गंगमयी की
जय।
यमुनामयी की
जय।
भक्ति देवी की
जय।
तुलसी देवी की
जय।
समवेद भक्त वृंद की
जय।
श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रमयी की
जय।
श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की
जय।
श्रील प्रभुपाद की
जय।
गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑफ ग्लोरी स्टूडियो संबंध ऑफ ग्लोरी स्टूडियो संबंध डिवोटी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Oh.
Disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning toward material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such a disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. We can see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Prachari Bhadisha.
entitled The Activities of the Purchantas, text number 8. I am very grateful to be among all of you today. This wonderful temple to Jagannath in Bangalore. For many years, it has been a prayer and hope to serve me. And today, I will be blessed with the good fortune of your association. My special gratitude for the presence of my dear God brothers, His Grace Kapi Bharanadana Prabhu, foremost Sanskrit scholar and author of the most authorized transcendental Vedic scriptures, is revealing Srila Prabhupada's love through the wisdom of the six Goswamis to the world. Thank you, Prabhu. And to my God brother, my old friend, Shamsundar Prabhu, I very much love Sakuradev Srila Prabhupada, serving him through his amazing skills as an astrologer for many years. And to all of the leaders of the temple here, who have, through all sorts of difficulties, carried on this great mission of Srila Prabhupada here in the great city of Bengaluru, formerly known as Bangalore. And to all of you who have so kindly come today. This particular story is extremely instructive. We should appreciate how Sukadeva Goswami the son of Srila Vyasadeva was perfectly liberated even in the womb of his mother, who was content just to remain in the womb until he died. Even if it was a long life, called out by his father and by Krishna himself, being attracted by the transcendental topics of pure devotional service. Atma Ramashtamunya. Even the greatest self-satisfying souls who have attained liberation from all miseries are attracted by the narrations describing the loving pastimes between Krishna and his devotees. When Sukadeva Goswami came to the bank of the Ganga, the place is called Shukatara, between New Delhi and Rishikesh, a little off the road. There was a banyan tree on the bank of the Ganga that the Acharyas proclaimed is the actual place where Parikshit Maharaj sat with a vow to fast till death for the last 7 days of his life. All the greatest sages and rishis of the universe came for this event. This was something glorious and historical. Here is the king of the entire world, the grandson of Arjuna, descendant of the Pandavas, who was ruling the world as a father lovingly cares for his subjects.
every single living entity was being protected and inspired by Guru Shiva. And for a slight mistake, he was cursed to die in 7 days. Now, can you imagine the military that Guru Maharaj had and conquered the world? Since that time, no military has been able to conquer the world. And we know what kind of militaries there are. He was so powerful. And he was a prophet of youth. The fame of Kama Pumas was the Rakshima Noble and Jarnay Martin Kratami Baba. This verse, so often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, is really the test of one who has taken shelter of the Lord. In one place, in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes that a person's Krishna consciousness has to be estimated how one responds to provoking situations. In fact, Prabhupada says, but how one tolerates provoking situations. So, someone who is somewhat sincere can live by the character of a devotee. When there are good times. But when there is attacks, when there is assaults, when there is temptations, when there is provoking difficult situations, the real test of a great person, Prabhupada says, is how one tolerates that. And we see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam this type of tolerance. Prahlad Maharaj was very much attacked by Nagakashipu. But he never became envious. He was kind and forgiving. Even Yudhisthira and Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, they fought the war on Krishna's instruction, but it wasn't with enmity and envy. It was with detachment for the sake of Dharma. Dhruva Maharaj, after he became self-realized, he became very, very tolerant and forgiving. Ambarish Maharaj, this particular quotation of Srila Prabhupada is in the context of the sages wanted to. They were discussing a Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who was the greatest. So they deputed Vrishamuni to find out. So he used his methods. He went to Brahma and neglected him. Brahma got angry. Then he went to Shiva and insulted him. Shiva was angry. Then he went to Vishnu, and right in front of Lakshmi, his wife, he ran up and kicked him in the chest. And Vishnu didn't get angry. Vishnu sat him down and said, please forgive me. I didn't greet you properly. So he gave you what I deserved. But your chest, my chest is so hard and your feet are so soft. I must have injured you, so please forgive me. And then he massaged his feet. Lakshmi was watching that. She was not happy seeing this happen to her husband. That she went to Gopur to atone for seeing such an offense. And ultimately to get Lakshmi back
Vishnu came to Tirupati. And here we find Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit means one who's always looking for Krishna, one who's always observing Krishna everywhere. When he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Ashwatthama sent Brahmastra to kill him. And Uttara, who loved her child so dearly, wept and cried out, "Krishna, save my child." And Krishna appeared within the womb and restored the life of Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj is a little embryo, saw Krishna within the womb of his mother coming to protect him. He was so attracted by that form that when he came out, he was always looking for Krishna. He was addicted to Krishna. So Krishna consciousness very simply means to always be conscious of Krishna. And to be conscious of Krishna means to be conscious of Krishna's Sukritam Sarvadeva. He's our best friend. And if we just serve him with devotion, he will always be there for us. The devotee looks for Krishna in everything, everywhere. When nice things happen to us, a devotee sees Krishna's loving hand and feels unworthy for such a gift and thanks Krishna. And when reversals come, even the most difficult situations, a devotee with folded palms thanks Krishna, understanding that whatever the reason may be externally as far as karma and all this other stuff, somehow or other, Krishna's there for me, always. And with a grateful heart, I turn to Krishna. This situation is an opportunity for me to surrender. We have personally seen, on many occasions, devotees who are dying in a very, very painful way from cancer or other such terminal diseases where their bodies are wracked with pain and they're invalids and emaciated and sometimes paralyzed in various places. And they're blissfully thanking Krishna. "I wouldn't trade my place for anyone else in the world," like our sister Kunti said. She's dying of cancer, at her last stages, bedridden, emaciated. And yet she was always smiling, always encouraging, kept me while it came to her. And when she couldn't even hold a book, she was so weak, her arms would break. If she just tried to hold up a book, somebody gave her a computer with all Prabhupada's books on it. And with a little twig-like fingers, she could just press a few keys and go to any page of any book of Srila Prabhupada. She was in ecstasy. She was propped up by all kinds of machines in this bed that goes on. Otherwise she can't sit. And she's smiling. She said to me, "People are saying I'm on my deathbed." "Not like that," she said. "I feel like I'm on the bank of the Ganges." And just like Parikshit Maharaj was listening to Shukadeva Goswami, I hear in Srila Prabhupada. And she said, "I have never, ever, ever read Prabhupada's books and felt him so personally talking right to me. I feel his presence so intimate. I've gone to many of his lectures personally. I've read his books for 30 years. I've heard his tapes.
but I've never, ever in my life felt Prabhupada so personally and directly and lovingly talking to me. And she started to cry in happiness and said, I would not trade my place for anyone else in the world. I feel that I am supremely fortunate. The inconvenience of this disease is a small token price for the blessing I receive. Now, what's the difference between that and somebody who's just suffering miserably in the exact same physical condition? Today, she's tolerating a provoking situation. And Sri Krishna, seeing the love of Srila Prabhupada manifested to her because she's looking for it. Actually, the love of Srila Prabhupada, the love of Krishna, is there for every one of us. We simply have to open our hearts and open our minds to look for it. And there's one quality that makes the mercy of Guru and Krishna accessible. That's gratitude. If we are grateful to Krishna in a situation, whatever it may be, Krishna reveals himself. If we're not grateful, although Krishna is there waiting for us, we cannot perceive it. We cannot appreciate it. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was happy. I committed an offense. And I'm cursed to die in 7 days. My whole family, my kingdom, everything taken away. It's an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. This is Vaishnava. Sees opportunity to come closer to Krishna in whatever situation, however inconceivable. So when he went to the bank of the Ganga, you can imagine, everyone wanted to be there, as far as the sages and rishis, because this was really a historical event. And not only that, they loved the king. He was such a great devotee. They wanted to be there to serve him, to help him. And Narada, Vyas, Bharadraj, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, Gautam Rishi, all of these great sages were there. And it's interesting. Because how did they advertise it? They didn't have internet in those days. They didn't have newsletters. Because these sages were coming from all over the universe, not just all over the earth. And they all got there on time. Everyone was assembled before the narration began. How is it possible that they all found out so quickly? They were coming from all different countries and all different planets. Amazing. And they all got there immediately, because it was only 7 days. There's a type of communication that is much more effective than internet or telephone or newspapers or magazines or anything else, television. And that is being in connection with the Paramatma. Somehow or other, they all understood. Krishna, in their hearts, wanted them to be there. So they understood what was happening. The Paramatma within their hearts, whoever was supposed to be there, you know, whatever, either they through intuition, through mystic power, through hearing the news, but they were all there. Amazing. On time for class. And Parikshit Maharaj was so, although he's a great king, he's welcomed each and every one of them, honoring them, praising them, surrendering to each and every person coming. And they were so pleased with him.
Now Sukadeva Goswami, how did he find out? He was just wandering in the forest all alone. He didn't even wear clothes. And foolish people thought he was just an ignorant, crazy person, just wandering in the forest like a madman. But by the Paramatma's will, he just came directly, of all places on earth, he just showed up right there, right when everyone was discussing how to best help Harish. And they all unanimously agreed, he is most qualified to speak. This was quite an honor, because Shukadeva Goswami was only 16 years old. And some of the people there, they were really senior people. Vasishtha Muni was there, and he was Lord Ramachandra's guru, which was, that means he's millions of years old. And Vishwamitra Muni was around before him. Back in Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga, we find Vishwamitra Muni. And Gautam Rishi, he brought the Ganga down in Satya Yuga. That is the form of the Godavari. It's unbelievable what kinds of people were there. Very, very senior sadhana Vaishnavas. And Vyasadeva, compiler of the Vedic literatures, and his guru Narada Muni. Narada Muni's been around a long time. And yet all these people who have thoroughly self-realized souls, who were preaching the highest truths for millions and millions of years in realization and wisdom, they all together select a 16-year-old boy, Sukadeva Goswami, to speak to all of them. They considered him the most qualified. And Sukadeva was very humble. He received all of their blessings and he sat down and spoke. Now he only had 7 days. And Sukadeva Goswami was a disciple and son of Vyasadeva, Tritthaladya. That means he knows everything, past, present, and future, in the Shakyamuni Sharaka. Shukadeva Goswami had access to such wisdom, such knowledge. He was directly connected to the Paramatma, who is all-knowing. And he particularly selected the narrations, the teachings, and the stories that were most appropriate. There are many Vedas, there are many Puranas, but Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence, the cream of all Vedic literature. Because it specifically and exclusively enunciates the ultimate perfection of pure unalloyed devotional service, and culminates with the love of the gopis in Srimati Dakanami for Krishna in Vrindavan. It's the Paramahamsa Samhita, the scripture that is most relished by the highest, most liberated, pure souls. So here we find in the fourth canto, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this story of the Prajantas. A little background. A great descendant of Maharaj Prithu, who was an avatar of the Lord, was a king named Prachini Bhagisha. He was a great devotee. But at the same time, he was distracted by a lot of things in this world, like many devotees.
He was married, and his wife was so beautiful and so endowed with good qualities that when she was circumambulating the sacred fire, Agnidev was attracted to her. Sacred fire, Agnidev. He had 10 sons, and they are known as the Prachetas. Now, Prachetas Barhishat wanted to train them. He wanted them to get married and ultimately take responsibilities ruling the world. But in order to prepare them, he sent them into the wilderness to perform tapasya. This is very important. Preparing them for marriage and preparing them for their occupational duties as leaders. He sent them to the wilderness to perform austerities. Because he understood that to be a good grihastha or to be a good leader of the people, one has to have spiritual awareness. One has to be self-realized. One has to be connected to God. And that connection in different times is established through the performance of the particular austerity of that time. They were the previous yoga. They had long lives. They went to the forest to meditate. Meditated underwater for a long time, according to Bhagavatam, 10,000 years. Now don't be discouraged. By Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can attain the same result just by remaining in our present situation and just following these regular principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no eating, having a nice service attitude, not being envious of others, associating with devotees, and performing the yajna of this age, which is the sincere chanting of all the names. Voices singing, and suddenly emerging
from this pure, tranquil name came Lord Shiva. The magnificent, effulgent, golden complexion and the dark blue neck. So beautiful. And Lord Shiva spoke to the Prajapatis. Because you are such sincere devotees of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, you are most dear to me, and naturally I am most dear to you. And here Srila Prabhupada goes into a very beautiful description. Vaishnavananyadashrami. Lord Shiva is unparalleled as a Vaishnava. He's the greatest Vaishnava. Out of compassion, he was willing to drink all the poison that was spreading over the universe during the churning of the ocean of milk. Such compassion. Intoxicated by love for the Lord. And because of his love for the Lord, Lord Shiva personally tells us in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but because of my love for the Lord, I love every devotee of the Lord. Every devotee is as dear to me as the Lord himself. And also, because devotees love Vishnu so much, and because I love Vishnu so much, all the devotees love me so much. Such a deep connection. And here, Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are loved in a non-different way because we see how much Vishnu loves Shiva and Shiva loves Vishnu. Because Vishnu is the greatest Vaishnava. Rama Samhita explains like milk and yogurt. There's simultaneously no difference between Shiva and Vishnu, but there is a difference because as Shiva, Vishnu takes a form of a servant, his loving servant. Krishna tells, the worship of my devotees is more dear to me than even worship of me. And Prabhupada in purport, he goes into good detail. He says, even Ram, in Rameshwaram, worshipped Lord Shiva to show how he worships his own devotee. So how we devotees always honor and respect with love and devotion Lord Shiva. And Shiva honors and respects the devotees. He wants to do everything for devotees. Prabhupada explains because Lord Shiva's consort, Durga, or Kali, is the manifested Shakti who oversees the entire material universes. Most people approach Lord Shiva for material benediction. Kamaisvans Tarakitvijana. Lord Krishna taught, he doesn't approve. So less intelligent people worship the demigods for material things. But Prabhupada explains devotees worship Shiva for the purpose of giving the blessing of pure unalloyed love for Krishna. And that is perfect. And there's nothing that gives Lord Shankar more pleasure than seeing a devotee striving for pure devotional service to. And there's nothing he'd rather do than give that pure devotional service, if that's what we ask of him. Prabhupada quotes the gopis, they worship the consort of Shiva, Katyayani, for loving service to Krishna. And in Vrindavan we find Nanda Yashoda, there's the Shiva Lila in Nandagram, Nandeshwar Mahadev, they worship Lord Arjuna. And then Yashoda, they worship Lord Shiva to get a son, Krishna.
The gopis worship Katyayani to get a husband, Krishna. It was all for the service of Krishna. So Lord Shiva was so pleased with the Prachetas. For the same reason that Vishnu was so pleased with the Prachetas. Because they were so united in their will to help each other to attain perfection. They were so much longing for loving service of the Lord. They wanted to be purified. If we really have a strong desire, Krishna fulfills that desire. And yet all the arrangements, he orchestrates the universe to bring you to the point where that desire for pure devotional service will be fulfilled. He doesn't always orchestrate it the way we plan or the way we like. But he does what's best for us when we have that desire. So here they are, in the middle of nowhere, in a vast wilderness, and Lord Shiva appears to them in his magnificent form and tells them, I'm going to give you a mantra. I'm going to sing a song to you, which is my song of love for Krishna, Vishnu. This song was revealed to Brahma at the beginning of creation. This song was taught to the Prajapatis for the purpose of bringing about all the different species of life and all of humanity about the universe. And today, I'm going to sing that song. It's a song of pure love for Vishnu. And you simply meditate on this song and recite this song over and over again. And you will not only love Vishnu, you will see Vishnu. So Lord Shiva sang this beautiful, beautiful song in glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. And in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva is revealing to the whole world that the most precious treasure of his heart is his love for Krishna. And the greatest blessing and benediction he longs to give everyone and anyone is this love for Krishna. The Prachetas heard the song of Lord Shiva. And Shiva told them, now you remember this song, and you perform your occupational duty, always in that humble spirit of the loving servant of the Lord. And Shiva disappeared. For Janus, they wanted to focus without external disturbances. Yes. Very difficult in this world. Even in past yugas. So many difficulties. Recently, I was in the Himalayas, Gaurgopal Prabhu was present at this time. We met him. He was about 85 years old, that yogi, Shankar Maharaj. When he was about 15, he went into the forests of the Himalayas and lived in a cave. Yes. And ever since that, now he's 85. But 70 years he's been living in the jungles and caves, meditating. He's really a yogi. I lived with his guru. And here also, many years ago. So I was going there just to discuss the old days. And we're sitting, and he's sitting in lotus position. He hasn't cut any of his hairs in 70 years. His hair is wrapped up like this with a big turban, and he has a big beard that's knotted. And he's sitting in his room, and we're talking, and all of a sudden I hear this loud music. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta! What is that? Pulls out a cellular phone.
Push into his ear.
Om Namah Shivaya. Give us his
lawyers.
The government forest department evicted all the yogis in that area from their caves. And all around him, he was living in this little room, and all around him was stuff. Blankets and pots and all kinds of stuff. And he told me, the government, because he was fighting the case on behalf of all the yogis, they said he had to have this room so they knew where he was for the next court case. And all the other yogis from all the other caves, they just put all their stuff in the case in this little room. He was like the caretaker. It was really old stuff. And he's sitting down, he's talking to a lawyer. About the next hearing for the court. And we asked him, why that crazy ringer? It's like, tock, 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 tock. He said, one of his disciples came from Delhi and brought a cell phone. He said, your lawyer said you have to have this because you have to be, on time for any hearings. So he has to be able to contact you. So just before this disciple left, he said, there's a choice of different ringers. Which would you like? So he was reading. And one of them was trance. Yes, that is the one. And so he was samadhi. He thought it would be like, Om. And instead of, tap, tap, tap. I don't know you people in Bengaluru, whether you know about trance music. The Rajas of Tamil. And he said he fixed it, and he doesn't know his cell phone. The person went back to Delhi, so he doesn't know how to do it. So the idea I'm trying to tell, to get back to the story, is this material world, any way arrangement you make, there's all kinds of disturbances. Even in the caves of the Himalayas. Chaitas, they know all this stuff. They wanted to be really left alone. So they went underwater. I'm sure you know what fish don't do. What was a Savari Muni who went underwater for the same purpose, and he was disturbed by fish. But the difference is he was alone. The Chaitas had association. We need association. Association of devotees is far more protective than seclusion. Maharaj Bharat, he was all alone. He was in a state of bhava. He still got distracted from the deer. Now, if he says he has some association, he would have certainly said, Bharat, you're in Maya. You're too attached to this deer. But he had known. So however advanced we are, association with devotees is critical. Rupa Goswami explains one of the five most essential elements for making advancement in devotional service is the association with devotees. So together, all ten of them, as brothers in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were together. There wasn't much to eat down there, probably. Not to drink. together. Now please understand, you know, when you're in a situation for 10,000 years together, it's not that they were all going off in different directions, you really have to tolerate provoking situations. It's hard enough for a man and woman to live in the same house together. Yes. Brothers and sisters, because they live in the same house, tendency is to fight, even in India, yes. Especially in India. Lowest level. There'd be brahmacharis in the ashram sometimes. You know, just any little thing. So we all have our false egos. But they were fixed in their purpose. They were fixed in doing their sadhana, chanting the mantra given to them by Lord Shiva. And they were bona fide Vaishnavas in every respect. Of the four sampradayas, the Rudra sampradaya is very great. Srila Prabhupada explains, today the Rudra sampradaya is represented by the followers of Srimad Balabhacharya. He's teaching pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna. For those who enter into the mysteries of his teachings. So they were united, despite very, very difficult circumstances. They were performing severe austerity together. Now our austerities is to render loving service to the Lord, to chant together in kirtan, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita together, to help together to push on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reach out to other living beings and to serve one another and to help each other to have a real quality life in Krishna consciousness. So every situation there's difficulties. But how we tolerate those provoking situations and how we remain united, fixed on a higher principle, is all important. So ultimately they came out. And the culmination, Lord Vishnu personally appears before them and speaks this very crucial knowledge for every Vaishnava. I'll repeat the verse and then speak something on the beautiful purport Srila Prabhupada has given from this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now the Lord is giving his personal direct darshan to these devotees. My dear sons of the king, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. Now Srila Prabhupada explains here in many places how to remain united with other people when the very nature of material existence is envy. It's the foundational quality of all material existence, envy. We come to this world and we remain in this world because of a very subtle but deep envy for God. Bhaktaram jagatata samsarva lokameshwaram suritam sarva bhutanam. Krishna is the proprietor of everything, but we want to claim proprietorship. Krishna is the ultimate object of enjoyment, but we want to be the enjoyer. And Krishna is the best well-wishing friend, but we want to be honored as someone who is very great. Whether in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, we come to this world and remain in this world because of this very deep-seated envy of God. Rather than serving, we want to be served. Rather than be enjoyed, which is our constitutional position, to be enjoyed by God, we want to be the enjoyer, the proprietor. Janasya Mohan Mahamayati. These two illusions, I am this body and all things connected to this body are mine. So it's very difficult. Because if you're envy of God, Mamayam Sochi Varoke Jiva Bhutta Samaya, every living being is a part of God. So potentially we are envious of everyone. We may not be, we may be good friends, but the potential, if the circumstances just turn in a certain way, we can be envious of anybody. But what is the quality of a Vaishnava? To rise above envy. Krishna tells Arjuna, you can understand this message because you are not envious. And Parikshit Maharaj is described in the Bhagavatam that he is the suitable candidate to understand this great message because he had no envy in his heart. This is critical. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramitam Uttamam. This king of knowledge, Krishna says, is the most secret of all secrets. What kind of secret? It's published, and there's hundreds of millions of Bhagavad Gitas, hundreds of millions of Bibles and Qurans and all these scriptures. How is this most secret of all secrets? Is this the way you keep a secret? It's the most secret of all secrets because however many volumes are out, you can't really understand it unless you have devotion. And what devotion means is to not be envious. A lust, envy, lust, anger, pride, greed, delusion, and envy. These are the six enemies within the heart. Even if we have envy, a Vaishnava doesn't give in to it. A Vaishnava recognizes, this is my enemy. And I will not follow the dictations of this voice of envy. But it's so powerful. The whole Mahabharata, the war was based on envy. Duryodhana wanted what Yudhisthira had. Yes? And the whole Ramayana, Ravana was envious. He wanted Ram's wife. The basic principle of material existence is envy. So how, as devotees, could we remain together and not be envious? Not be angry? Our relationship has to always be focused on the higher principle. Within ISKCON, the higher principle in every situation is simply what will please Srila Prabhupada. Just like the Prachetas. The higher principle was what their guru, Lord Shiva, taught them. and that higher principle can harmonize all apparent disputes if we focus on that. Srila Prabhupada told us in his last days that you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. And within his books, again and again. Just a few days ago, we celebrated Rathayat trip in Dadar, downtown Bombay. And we were remembering the beautiful story of King Pratap Garuda. When all the devotees helped him to have the personal darshan and the personal service to Lord Chaitanya in the garden during the Rathayatra parade. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was reading Gopi Gita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him and bathing the king with his tears. The king was in disguise because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to go near a king. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are bringing me such nectar. You are my best of all friends. Please tell me, who are you?" He couldn't say that. He said, "I am the king." But already said he was more abominable than drinking poison to go near his presence. And if he said it was somebody else, you can't lie to the absolute truth. So he spoke from his heart. "I am the obedient servant of the servant of your servants, and my only aspiration in life is to be the servant of the servant of your servants." This is the highest aspiration that the devotee begs for. Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction by Kubera. Prahlad Maharaj was asked any benediction by Narasimha Dev. Kulavecha Sridhar was offered any benediction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the only thing any of them asked for is to be the servant, the servant, the servant. In the Mahaprakash Lila in Srimasangam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered any benediction to Thakur Haridas. After all, he endured being beaten through 22 marketplaces and never gave up chanting the holy names with a grateful heart. The Lord was so indebted. "You have done so much for me. You've endured blasphemy, persecution, beatings." Wherever he was going, people hated him, were trying to destroy him. Ramchandra Kali, Gopal Chakravarti, always been blasphemed and everything else. Beaten. The Lord said, "You've endured it all for me. I want to give you any benediction, ask for anything." And Haridas Thakur, he said, "If you insist on giving me a benediction, give me this. Then in every birth that I may take, grant me the highest blessing of receiving the remnants that have been left on the plate of your devotee." That devotee who only feels himself your servant and only sees you as his master. "Even if I take birth as an insect or a dog, I'm happy. But let it be near the house of a devotee so I can get the Mahamaha Prasad their remnants." And then Haridas Thakur is feeling ashamed. "Who am I to ask for such an exalted blessing as this?" This is how much he valued the association of devotees. This is how much he was really feeling himself the servant of the servant of the servant. He was not envious. This is the principle. So when King Prataparudra said this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine opulences to the king. And when he came out, the king went and offered obeisances to all the devotees and thanked them, thinking it was all because of you. And all the devotees were happy because King Prataparudra received such mercy. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya would glorify Sanatana Goswami as if he had five mouths, all the devotees were in ecstasy to hear and to see how another devotee was being blessed by the Lord. And in both of these instances and many more, Srila Prabhupada explains, a Vaishnava is one who is not envious. A Vaishnava is one who takes pleasure in seeing another person becoming empowered and getting the mercy of the Lord. And when a Vaishnava sees somebody else getting special mercy, he is not envious. He's happy. And actually, it's real easy. You can make spiritual advancement just by being happy, seeing other people doing well. You can make tremendous spiritual advancement just doing that. Because Krishna is so pleased within your heart that he sees that you love the devotees, that you're the well-wisher of devotees. When somebody is being blessed, if we're envious, what we're really saying is, God, Krishna, you made a mistake. You should be giving this power to me. Why should I give it to her? I'm a cook. I'm making such nice sambar. Why everyone's talking about her sambar and not mine? Krishna, some mistake you made. Krishna does not like that. You're going down if you're thinking like that. But if you're thinking, I'm trying my best to make nice sambar, but Krishna, you're empowering her to make better sambar than me. Thank you, Krishna. Congratulations. You may, in that situation, make great earth spiritual advancement than the person making the sambar. Krishna's immensely pleased when we appreciate how others are being empowered and getting blessings and mercy with Krishna. Part of the Guruji. A devotee's sadness is to see others. Among devotees, our sadness is when we see someone having difficulty in their Krishna consciousness. And if we're actually sad, we want to do something about it. We want to help them. It's not that we're too busy for them. Somebody's given their lives to devotional service and they're having difficulties, which happens. The material world is a war against Maya. People are going to get injured. People are going to have problems. Paradukaduki means, out of compassion, we want to help them. We want to do whatever we can to uplift them, not push them down, not let them die. And when somebody's doing really well, it should bring us joy. If somebody's doing wonderful things, making wonderful advancement, that should be our happiness. And if that's our happiness, we're giving Krishna happiness, and that's how we make advancement. Samsadhir Santoshanam. Our spiritual advancement is not based on what we do, it's based on how we please Krishna. What we do, what we think, should always be directed how this will please Krishna. And this is what Krishna appreciates. When we appreciate each other, appreciation is an act of love. Srila Prabhupada explains the jati sukriti. When someone appreciates a devotee, even if they don't know why they're appreciating, we're doing Nam Sankirtan in the street and someone says, oh, very nice music. Well, these people are very effulgent. Or you give a person prasad. Even if they don't know it's prasad, if they say it tastes good. Appreciation for a devotee, appreciation for any act of devotional service is the beginning of a person's spiritual life. Because appreciation is an offering of love of the heart. So appreciating devotees is the opposite of envy of a devotee. And it's really strange because of the familiarity, which is familiarity in Krishna consciousness breeds love and unity. Familiarity where there's a lack of Krishna consciousness breeds contempt. And when we're around devotees, sometimes we're more envious of other devotees than we are people who are not devotees. Why is that? The answer?
Let us hear from Srila Prabhupada today's report.
Prabhupada's explaining disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning toward material things. What Prabhupada is explaining here is this is not Krishna consciousness. Even in the society of Krishna consciousness, if we are not Krishna conscious, then we become disunited over different opinions because we have these material leanings. Ahankar, the false ego. We want prestige, we want power, we want position. Kama, pratishtha. Wealth, prestige, sense gratification are the greatest stumbling blocks on the path of bhakti. We have to be extremely careful of it. Just like an alcoholic. You've heard of Alcoholics Anonymous? It's a whole sangha of people all over the world who help alcoholics to stay away from alcohol. No, if they go near it, then they're not going to be able to resist. Because their lives have been so much ruined by it. Now they've given it up and they're all there together to help each other to stay away from it. Society of devotees, we should understand that this desire for sense gratification, this desire, greed for wealth, and prestige and power are so strong. We have been perpetually addicted to these things for so many births. We have to help each other to stay away from that addiction. But sometimes in Krishna consciousness, in the name of Krishna consciousness, we try to fulfill those same anarchies. And so many people fall into that trap. It's pitiful. So how to remain united? We have to be united on this higher principle. Now Srila Prabhupada explains, if we're Krishna conscious, then even our disagreements are transcendental. And they'll bring us closer together. Classic story of the Bhagavatam is Ashwatthama. He killed the five sons of Draupadi. Arjuna caught him. Bhima said, he killed my son He killed the sons of my wife. Kill him.
Draupadi said, no, let him go.
He killed my sons. Prakriti, the wife of Kripacharya, of Dronacharya, she should not have to suffer the way I'm suffering. I lost all my children, and this is her only son. Why should she suffer like me? Don't kill her. So she's speaking from the perspective of a mother, and Bhima is speaking from the perspective of a Kshatriya warrior. Kill him! Justice! Well, who's right? They're both right. They're both absolutely perfectly right. Bhima was right. He should be killed. And Kshatriya calls. And that was his service to the Lord. And Draupadi was right because she's a mother and she's feeling compassion of another mother suffering. So there's a serious dispute here. And their husband and wife. What happens? Even amongst the greatest devotees. So if you're married and you have some dispute between husband and wife, don't think that Bhima and Draupadi have. And they're having this dispute right in the presence of Lord Krishna. Living and speaking, Krishna standing right in between them, and they're having a dispute. They were perfectly united. They weren't envious or mad at each other. They had different opinions. But the higher principle was ultimately they were both for the pleasure of Krishna. Now the fact is, there are people with Brahminical nature, Kshatriya nature, Vaishya nature, Shudra nature. Everyone has different natures, and according to our occupation, we have different natures. Some person's a businessman, some person's a brahmachari studying the Vedas, another is a mother taking care of children. Okay, for Anadana Prabhu was living in the Supreme Abode of Govardhan, teaching Sanskrit. He's training, he's personally training devotees in Prabhupada's direction to be able to translate and bring out Prabhupada's pure spirit of devotional service, Prabhupada's mood of pure devotional service. Training people to translate the Goswamis and the Vedic literatures in that spirit. As the living example of that. So we all have different occupations. We're going to deal with situations in different ways. If we expect everyone to fit in the same mold, it's not possible. We have to accommodate so many different kinds of devotees. And we have to appreciate who they are. If you see how Prabhupada engaged people in devotional service, you know, he didn't, you know, I'm not going to mention too many names, but, you know, certain people who were very shy and timid, he engaged in a certain way. People who were very aggressive, he engaged in another way. And he appreciated all of them and empowered all of them. But the higher principle, when we're all united, is the love and appreciation we share for one another and how we work together for the mission. Prabhupada says, united we stand and divided we fall. And one famous letter, Prabhupada gave the example of the bundle of sticks from one fable. He said, when sticks are bound together, nothing can break the unity of those springs. No single stick could be broken because of the unity between all of them. But if you take any individual stick out of the ground, easily it can be broken. So Maya will break us, individually and collectively, if we are disunited. But if we are united, there's no power within this entire constant manifestation that can disturb the progress of Krishna consciousness movement or disturb our individual progress. Very clear. Now what is that unity? This is being revealed here. Srila Prabhupada explains Krishna consciousness means to not have ulterior motives. There's a beautiful purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada writes that pure devotional service is very rare. Why is it so rare? Because if one achieves pure devotional service, Krishna agrees to become subordinate to that devotee. Krishna gives himself to that devotee. So he doesn't give that easily. It's very rare. But then Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna easily gives pure devotional service to anyone who is sincere, serious, and has no ulterior motives. The reason for all disunity in the Krishna consciousness movement, the disunity that creates separation, the variegated disunity actually brings deeper harmony. The reason? Ulterior motives. The great enemy. We're thinking selfishly. We're thinking for myself. And the nature of the ego is it presents our selfish desires as something very selfless. The nature of the ego is to fulfill our own selfish ambitions. We can create entire philosophies and ideologies to justify it, to prove it. But ultimately, the Paramatma is seen from within our heart. Prabhupada writes, Krishna does not see everything that is offered. Krishna sees the purpose, the intention in which it is offered. So as Vaishnavas, we have to very carefully examine our own motivations. You can show your love by how you cooperate. That was a powerful challenge. The most difficult thing in Kali Yuga is to cooperate. But there's nothing pleases Guru Krishna and seeing the devotees loving each other on the basis of helping each other to love Krishna. In the case of Draupadi and Bhima, Krishna was there. And they both accepted. And Krishna made the arrangement to satisfy both of them. Yes? Kill him, but don't kill him. Krishna can make everything make sense. Now, if Krishna told you, kill him, but don't kill him, what would you do? He'd tell me if you wanted. But Arjuna knew exactly what to do. He was the unifier. He gave him a certain type of cutting of hair that made him look really stupid. And dishonor for a Kshatriya is worse than death. So by dishonoring him, he killed him. But he didn't kill him. Because his mother doesn't care if he's dishonored as long as he's alive. So both Bhima and Draupadi were happy. So whatever disagreements we have, they can all be conciled if we just turn to the higher principle of Krishna and maintain that higher principle. So there may be so many different opinions and everything else that we should understand that whatever opinion, Prabhupada's opinion, and everybody has interpretations of Prabhupada, we really have to be without ulterior motives. We have to really be careful to guard against envy. And then even our disagreements will be transcendental. But here we find Krishna is explaining to the whole world, I am so pleased with the progenitors because of their friendly relationships with each other. If we want to attract people to the Krishna conscious movement, this is essential. Because there's so much fighting and there's so much envy in this world. When people read Srila Prabhupada's books, they're reading about a philosophy and a culture that is based on love for God. People want that. They're starving, they're thirsting for that. When they come to the Association of Devotees, if they see and hear politics, criticisms, fighting, what are they going to think? They're going to think, what is the difference between this and the rest of the world? What's in the books? It's in the books. But if it's not in these people's lives, then do I want to be a part of it? Either they won't believe the books work, or they'll just stay home and read the books. But the books tell them they need the Association of Devotees, so what are they going to do? It's our duty to Prabhupada to create an environment where people come and they get shelter from Kali Yuga in the Association of Devotees. And what does that mean? Friendly dealings among the devotees. No criticism. No different sides or different issues. And even if there is different opinions, they are resolved in Vaishnava gentle ways with love and appreciation for each other. And if there's any single reason that devotees who come to this movement leave this movement, it's because of lack of human encouragement and support. Nobody leaves because they don't believe in the philosophy. Philosophy is wonderful. It answers all questions. The chanting of the holy names is magnificent. But in order to continue chanting throughout our life to attain perfection, we need a society, a community of devotees to help us. Because Maya is very strong. But whether it comes from the leadership or whether it comes from the peers, if people are not cared for, if people are not protected, if people are not appreciated, if people are not encouraged, many things could happen. Either they just become a critical politician within the society or they leave. Or they don't want to do those things. They're just discouraged and depressed. This happens. We have to rise above these things on the basis of the higher principle. The greatest thing that's going to keep people within our society is friendly relationships.
encouragement, appreciation, selfless servant of the servant of the servant.
Because through that, the atmosphere is conducive to people to really take shelter of the holy names, to really take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We need that association. And when we have such a sangha, it will attract the whole world. That's exactly what the world is longing for. Srila Prabhupada said, Maya cannot disturb the progress of our movement from external form. She can only disturb it by conflict within. And there's 100 million reasons to have conflict at any moment if we use our imagination. But there's one reason to remain united. There's one reason to cultivate a community of love and trust. To cultivate a community where we really care about each other and we're really here for each other and we're really appreciating each other. So that's what Prabhupada wants. And that's what Krishna wants. And that's what that's what's being spoken of by Prabhupada and Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly. If there is this type of fighting, Srila Prabhupada is directly saying, very clearly, what does that mean? You are not Krishna conscious. Doesn't matter what you wear. Doesn't matter what title or position you have. You are not Krishna conscious. Because Krishna consciousness,
Prabhupada writes,
ultimately what opinion is the voluntary motives. This disunity is because we are not Krishna conscious. You could chant all your rounds, follow four regular principles, you could learn 10,000 slogans. But if you're not in the mood of the servant of the servant, and you're not creating a community of devotees, Prabhupada's saying you are not Krishna conscious. Krishna doesn't have to be pleased with your chanting of the holy names. Krishna doesn't have to be pleased with your reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Trimadapi Sunichena Tarodi Vasavishnu. Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadhani. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us, take this verse and put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. That means our chanting of the holy names has to always be inseparable from this verse. To be humble, like a blade of grass. Tolerant like a tree, to offer all respect to others, and please listen carefully to the next part, to not expect or demand respect for oneself. When we have this spirit, Krishna's pleased. Krishna's pleased with our chanting of japa. Krishna's pleased with our chanting of kirtan. When Krishna sees we have this real spirit of a humble servant of the servant of the servant, then Krishna, yegatamam prapadyante tams tadaya vajanam, Krishna reveals himself within his name with all his beauty, all of his qualities, all of his love, his limas, his abode. Everything is revealed through chanting of the holy name if only we have this spirit. And then kirtaniya sadahani, how could we ever stop tasting the sweet nectar of the holy name? Rupa Goswami prays, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the name of Krishna, that name dances on my tongue, I desire many, many, many tongues, and when that name enters my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears, and when it enters into my heart, it conquers my consciousness. this Trinavati Sunichena. When we are in the spirit, this is what happens when we chant the holy names. This is the Sankirtan moment, where we are meant to chant together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught by his own example with his devotees the Sankirtan movement. And we find the predominant qualities of these devotees is their friendly dealings with each other, their tolerating each other, ultimately their loving each other. Even Kal Krishna Das made a serious mistake and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him and all the devotees came together to help him. Nityananda Prabhu and all the others trying to get a sermon. Chota Haridas made a mistake and Lord Chaitanya was so angry. All the devotees were working together to try to help the situation to have. Chota Haridas made a mistake. Kal Krishnadas made a mistake. How can we help them? Love and care for each other. His Holiness Srila Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj. He has been preaching this. He has been teaching this. The concept of the Bhakti Vriksha program is not only to expand Krishna consciousness, but to teach devotees proper Vaishnava relationships among each other, where each devotee feels really cared for and encouraged. Because when we're cared for and encouraged, we are empowered. Instead of blaming others, we should search our own hearts. And as long as we're on this level of blaming others, it just goes on birth after birth after birth. We have to search our own heart. And rise above our ulterior motives. And understand why it plays a role in our heart. And live for that. Prabhupada says that the very substance of a devotee's life is to carry out the order of the spiritual master. Prabhupada gave us many instructions, but this is the instruction which is like the string that puts together the pearls of all of his other instructions, which we offer to Krishna. And our life. Recently I was with His Holiness Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj in Los Angeles. What a loving, kind Vaishnava. He was in physiotherapy and devotees were telling that he just had this traumatic stroke. And literally, as soon as he came conscious from a coma, he wanted to go out and preach. He wanted to be with devotees. He wanted to serve. I was joking with him once. I said, Maharaj, he called and said, could I come for the Sunday? Because your devotees have helped so much, I'd like to go to Radha Gopinath Temple to give the Sunday feast program to serve the devotees. He just wants to reciprocate and serve. For him, preaching is reciprocating and serving. It's love. It's Vaishnava exchange. So I was joking. I said, after that is, between that actually, I said, we have a Puligacha, there's about over between 3,000 and 4,000 people coming. Devotees would love for you to speak there. It's an 8-hour drive back and forth. And he said, yes, I will come. And he was fighting with the doctors for the next 2 weeks. The doctors didn't want him to go. Finally, they went to the highest doctor. He's not a devotee. And they were sure he was going to finally put the stamp of disapproval on his idea. So they asked the doctor. He said, yes, the best thing for his health is for him to go to Buddha. How is that? It's an 8-hour drive, back and forth, bad roads. He said, because this man, his only happiness is serving others by talking about Krishna, and making him happy will be the best thing for his health. Such a Vaishnava. Here he is in physiotherapy, and he's always like trying to help his therapist and his doctor. He's so concerned, you know, that they're getting prasad, that they're, you know, just trying to give them Krishna consciousness. He really just loving concern for them. And the doctors are saying that he cares about us more than we care about him. He's trying to help us more than we're trying to help him. We're learning what it means to be a therapist for him. That's true. He's taxing his brain not to give these people Krishna. No, tear it moment. Just that enthusiasm to serve. And I'm not good at numbers, but when I was with him a few weeks ago, he told me yesterday, he said he took, I think it was 351 steps, something like that. That's his record. And then he said that his personal assistant, he said, was cheating him. Did you hear about that? That his personal assistant was cheating. Because he said, I took more steps than that, but he didn't. He didn't count all my steps. He was cheating. He said it with such love and affection. I think that was the nicest thing that his assistant ever heard in his life. Such affection. So please understand that we may have our ideas, but yes, yaprasada, bhagavan prasada. But ultimately, pleases Guru and Krishna. They want to see our cooperation. They want to see our unity. They want to see a real Vaishnava community. Why? Because that's what's going to make us happy in Krishna consciousness, and that's what's going to attract the world to Krishna consciousness. What it means to be Krishna conscious, Prabhupada explains very clearly in this verse. So we have to be very, very careful. You always be focusing on this higher principle. Thank you very much.
Introduction of Maharaj's new book.
when it first came out, we moved out in 2 months ago, I managed to get a copy of it, and read the whole thing. Sat down and read it. It's an amazing story. If I had it, I would, people always ask me about how I came to Krishna consciousness, I try to change the subject. I have a glorious story to tell about how I came to but I hope you have plans to write more books. Very well written. Thank you.
Sundar Prabhu, something on the Bhagavatam class?
Yeah.